Hey everyone, this is Austin Schur with We Write About Music, and today I'm thrilled to be speaking with Trent Prahl, who is much better known as Kainalu. He released one of my favorite records of 2022 called Ginseng Hourglass, and I'm super excited to talk to him all about it. Trent, I want to sincerely thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to do this. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Nice. I'm super excited to have you. This record was released in November, and no joke, it's been on constant repeat for the better part of 6 months at this point. It's for me, it's one of those records that you can put on, and it's a cohesive listen from start to finish. There's no skips, everything is great. And I kind of just want to get an idea from like your creative standpoint. How do you map out an album and try to, I guess, create that cohesive sound?
That's a really great question. This last record took me probably 2.5 years to write. But there was kind of a year gap in between when I was dealing with some family issues with my mother
Sure.
and her health. But anyway, it kind of like it took shape sort of at the beginning or the end of 2019, right before the pandemic, where it was when a lot of the demos were written. And then it kind of sat on a shelf for about a year. And then it sort of like came together as a cohesive project in 2022. And that's kind of when I wrapped up
Sure.
writing it. And it just sort of like starts as a bunch of beats and random ideas, but the more like existential nature and the lyricism came much later, having gone through such a crazy experience that we all went through during 2020.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's hard to say. I definitely didn't set out like with this grandiose vision of a cohesive piece of music, but it kind of felt right towards the end of the project.
Okay.
Maybe not the like most normal way of doing it, but at the end it sort of felt like there was a an o like a linking themes and
Sure.
more of a more grand nature to it.
I mean, when it comes to making music, I don't think there's any normal way to go about it. Like you do what you got to do to make it work. Like there's no steps one through three, you know. You make it work, you figure it out. I was actually going to wait to talk about this, but I might as well just bring it up right now. And it goes into more of your process side of things. I kind of want to know how does it start for you when you make these songs? It sounds like the lyrics were not necessarily an afterthought, but they came towards the end. So, like, what does the composition look like on your end?
It kind of varies song to song, but most of the time it usually starts with drums, establishing something that makes your body want to move.
Yeah.
And then it's immediately like just very basic chord progression, and then bass guitar is like immediate. So I'll spend probably 60% of the time writing a song just on the bass lines and trying to figure out how they map in between everything.
Got it.
And then I'll usually have like one line, like a hook that I'm kind of mumbling through, but you sort of get like, okay, this song's going to be about this. This is the sort of clever hook that I like and it speaks to me. And then mapping the rest of the lyrics out is sort of the last piece of the puzzle.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, it fully stands out that the bass pops the most. And I'm not discounting the rest of the instrumentals, but like, yeah. Obviously, a consistent standout in your music overall has to be the production and how you've sort of created like this larger than life sound. It fills every crack of the headphones, like there's no millisecond that's wasted. How long have you been at it in the production game? Because I know it's like learning a language and it never stops.
I'm still learning to this
Right.
day. I'd say around like 2016 is when I really dove into the idea of, okay, I don't need to have studio time. I can just build equipment in my house or my room
Yeah.
to get the sound that you want, and then really started deep diving into how do you make it what's in your head. And you're never fully there, but like, and you're always getting frustrated. You're like, why don't my drums sound like Steely Dan records? Or like, You know what I mean? Kevin Parker get that like screeching guitar tone?
We'll never know.
Yeah.
And he'll never tell.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah. And the reality is like you're doing it on a budget because what money you would have spent to have like beautiful equipment, you instead spend on like scouring eBay for just niche pieces of gear and just plugging them in and finding these weird sounds. But in terms of just like the engineering side of production, like the more scientific side, it's I'd say since like 2016, I mixed like my first EP and my first album just completely by myself. But this recent album, I mixed it with my good friend Adam Thine, who like definitely added his touch. He's like an absolute mastermind, and it was such a amazing process to like have two people, like someone you really trust, like combining your thoughts and making decisions together. I think it just speeds things up, and also like it added Adam's like gifts to it, and I think that really took it, like, I mean, it's so much better than I could have done just by myself, so I definitely want to give credit where credit's due.
Absolutely. And I think just as a musician, or even just an artist in general, there's always a baseline level of perfectionism. Like, you just working on your own, you can tinker and play around, and it could take you 5-10 years before you're like, okay, I think I got it. I think having that extra person, no matter who it is, but especially having a person who can act as the other half of your brain, yeah, I could see why that speed things up and maybe gives you a much different perspective.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, totally. And also just like when you're the person who's doing the audio engineering and the writing and the recording,
yeah,
you hit the mix side and it's like you're falling victim to all your previous mistakes. And so there's like this whole psychological element of like, do I just redo all these things because I can't get them to mix properly, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and you can get trapped in like an endless cycle of perfectionism, like you're saying, whereas Adam can just be like, that sounds good, I'm done, right?
Next.
Yeah.
Let's go. Exactly. Yeah. Do you have a most important piece of gear to you that you've collected at this point?
No, that's an awesome question. Man, I have too much.
Yeah.
I got my background blurred on Zoom, but I'm just surrounded by like crap.
That's okay.
You know, I have this like Fostex 8-track reel to reel, and that's definitely, yeah, I put a lot of things onto it, and it's kind of just like a magic button where like things go on and they come off, and it's indescribably different, but it's cool in some way. So I got that on eBay when I was like 18 or something.
Awesome.
I definitely love that.
Very cool. Well, people are going to be headed to eBay after this.
you don't need to get a fancy one. Just put it on.
Just get it. That's hilarious. Yeah. Another thing that I love about your music is that it doesn't pull, or it's not just one genre. There's not just one style. It's really infused with so much. I almost don't even know what to call it. I was introduced by your music from someone that is actually going to go out and cover your show in Los Angeles. Good friend of mine. And he was like, I know what you listen to, you're gonna love this, and I don't know how to explain it, but just listen to this record, I think you're gonna really enjoy it. So how do you explain to people when they're like, hey, what kind of music do you make? Like, what's your sort of elevator pitch?
Man, I've struggled with that.
Yeah, like, and there's right answers.
Yeah, back in the day, I would just make up words because I think that, like, I don't want to get all high horse or philosophical, but like genres are kind of hard to, they're kind of limiting in a way.
I
mean, I definitely feel like I take a lot of inspiration from like Toro y Moi and Tame Impala. Those are kind of my, and UMO. Those are like my big three in my life. But I do like a lot of like Motown stuff. So there's kind of like old school percussion elements. And then recently it's been more like house music. So it's somehow like, oh, and then like just really, especially live, it's a lot more like gritty and like rock. So like,
okay,
Much higher energy. So it's just, in my mind, it's just how do you combine those like house, disco, psychedelic rock into something?
Yeah, well, I think you just described it perfectly. It doesn't need to be like one sentence. It can be like, you know, a short paragraph on what we're making here.
And then just like, I think it's cool to try to like morph yourself through those genres, even in single songs, you know what I mean? Or just like pulling elements from stuff.
Right. Are there any, I guess, B-sides or things that didn't make the cut for this newest record that you're saving for future projects?
Yeah, definitely. My current plan, so I'm not on a label or anything like that, which is, there's pros and cons. The pros is that I could just put whatever I want out anytime.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I have like probably two EPs. One of them's more like heavy and the other one's more like house music, and they kind of feel like separate things.
Sure.
So I'm trying to build those out into like back-to-back releases, and they may not sound like super, they're not as like cohesive as the other record, but they're each like a little side project, like, oh, I want to explore that sound or try something different.
Right, full-on creative freedom and no one breathing down your neck with release dates. So I love that. I don't want to discount your debut, Lotus Gate, because I love it too. Like, I've had the chance to listen to that a lot. And there's sonic differences from this newest record, but I want to know, is there anything that you learned from recording that you took to this newest record, whether in terms of like, I should do this differently, or production techniques, or just anything that sticks out?
Man, yeah, that's such a good question. You've been asking such amazing questions. Thank you.
Thank you for answering.
So much, because Lotus Gate was like the first record I've ever attempted, and it's completely self-produced and mixed. And back then I didn't have as much experience just recording or like with sound processing or anything. So I slaved over getting that record to sound good. And I think it's just based on the fact of inexperience with microphones and like inexperience with microphone preamps and signal chains and like how to actually record these things professionally. So going into this record, I just had more experience learning from the mistakes of the first record. And I love the first record, don't get me wrong, but it's just like more streamlined of like, okay, this is how you properly do a drum set, or these are the microphones I would choose for these types of applications. And I just think it was much quicker in reality.
That's actually surprising that it's much quicker, because you would think like, damn, this is the thing that people are maybe going to hear for the first time. It needs to be this like grand opus on the first one, but that's not necessarily how it needs to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think I spent more time with the songwriting of this most recent record.
Okay.
And less time worrying about how I'm going to get a snare drum to sound like this.
Yeah.
Because I just knew how to do that more quickly.
Sure.
So in reality, you just get to spend more time crafting more involved songs.
Yeah, that makes sense. My first listen through Lotus Gate, instant reaction, and it's like, it's a compliment to you, because I also love Tori Moi, was like the punchiness of those drums and like the highness of the vocals. I was like, this is so in that same vein, but also so your own thing. Like, it's not necessarily a direct homage, but you can tell that the influence is there. And that's what I love about this music so much, is that it's like, it pulls from what you love, but it's not directly in your face. And I think that's a fine line without directly copying.
Yeah.
I think that probably has to be a worry on your end. It's like, yeah, I love these people, but I don't want to make the same thing, but I also want to show that I love them.
Yeah. And I'm growing older too. So I think as you get more confident in what sonic choices you want to make, you're start to extend into your own like exploration. But I never want to like be like just forthright, or I just want to be forthright about like when the project started, I really loved that music.
Sure.
And I still do. And I like, they've made such influential music in this vein that like, it's definitely been a huge influence on how this all started. And now it's more like, that's where all my skills learned, is just trying to like make those types of sounds. And then it's like, now I want to add different things to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Lyrically speaking, are there any songs across any of your albums that mean the most to you? Obviously, I know that they come from a personal place, but one that you might recommend, like, hey, if you want to get to know a little bit more about me, this is what you should check out.
Yeah. I think the title track from the new record, Ginseng Hourglass, is pretty personal to me. It's about my mother who passed away from cancer during writing of the record. And some of the like conversations that she was having with me towards the end of her life were kind of, I kind of recycled them into that song. So it's pretty, it's very funky, but it's very dark. And but yeah, it's just like, it's personal, and it's not like sad, or it wasn't meant to be like sad. It's more meant to be like life lessons, or like contemplative, you know?
Sure. No, I think that's a great one to point out. You are also gearing up for your summer tour right now. It kicks off in about a week or so from today. And I want to know what that looks like from a live standpoint. Like, you mentioned that it's a little more rocky and a little more crunchy than your polished sound. So yeah, what does a live show look like?
Yeah. It's it is more energetic, I would say. So like, I do all of the recording and producing by myself, but when we take it to a band setting, you can kind of tell that it's like very processed, like computer music, right? Because one person's recording over themselves. So it was very challenging to like try to translate that type of sound into a live environment. And I have amazing help from, like I said, my friends who I've been playing music with and projects for years, but we sort of like do kind of a hybrid live setup where all of our effects are like programmable and controlled by MIDI signals, and like that allows us to do like extremely fast patch changing and try to emulate some of the sounds on the record. But then naturally, like, we've been playing together for so long that my bandmates have like influenced the live sounds, so we go into different places. Like, it definitely gets much heavier live. We have like much louder guitars, and just everything, it's like, it's not like backtracked, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it
would have been so easy to
backtrack, but it's more of like, this is how a band would try to play this music, and it's going to have its own sound in a way.
Cool. I prefer that, because when I get up there and a band plays note for note, like, they basically could have just clicked play on their laptop, I don't love it as much. I love when an artist gets up there and sort of makes these songs that you know so well their own thing.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's what you're doing here, and that's what I love the most. So
that's what I love too.
Good for like, you.
I want to see people playing. And
yeah, absolutely.
And yeah. And just like, it's gonna be different because there's five people instead of one. So
yeah, much.
But it's more like, that's a band playing that, you know what I mean?
And I want to know, because there's been so many amazing releases this past year, what have you been enjoying? What's been on constant repeat, I suppose?
Yeah, I think the big two are UMO's record 5. That was like an amazing sound. Pretty much, he just doesn't miss. Honestly,
no, that whole record like, is an absolute beauty. It's also been on repeat since it came out.
Definitely. And it's kind of like, throughout my life, like, I remember seeing Ruben play with like two other people at a venue here in Wisconsin for like 10 people on like a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And like, and I was in, you know, I was much younger, obviously, but just every time he puts out a record, it just gets better and better. So definitely that one. And then I have really liked this band Tennis from Denver.
Yes, Tennis are amazing, and I've also really been enjoying their record this year.
Yeah, me too. Those have been kind of the ones that I like. And then there's been like a couple of singles from Remy Wolf. I think Remy Wolf is incredible. Like,
yeah, I just saw her last weekend, actually. In
so good.
Salt Lake City. She put on an amazing live show. I wasn't super familiar with her, But yeah, her show was great. And
I'm sure. I mean, her awesome. Vocals are like insane, yeah. Just insane vocalists. So yeah, I've definitely not necessarily a record, but the song yeah. she keeps putting is like, again, she's just not missing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's awesome. Trent, I want to thank you so much again for taking the time. My last question for you here is basically, for the person that is going to listen to your music for the first time, what is an opening message you'd like to say to them before they click the play button?
Wow. Yeah, I write this music as my own sort of form of escapism. And I try to make each record be a place or a feeling that you can turn on from start to finish and sort of like relieve yourself from your own reality.
Sure.
So I would say just go in like thinking, or go in like and allow the music to transport you to somewhere else. And that may be like more literal, like in the first record, or more metaphorical, like in the newer stuff. But yeah, it's kind of my own self-therapy. So I write it to like make you think, but not think at the same time.
Sure. No, I think that's a fantastic answer. And yeah, please give me the opportunity to plug your music for you one more time here. If you guys missed it the first time around, the newest record, it was out in November of 2022. It's called Ginseng Hourglass. But we'll have the links in our articles so that you can listen and share and follow along and just generally stay tuned. We'll also have the tour dates posted. It might be coming to a city near you. So Trent, seriously, thank you so much. This has been an honor to be able to talk to you, and I hope to be able to see you live soon enough.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Austin. This has been great. Thank
you. You're very welcome. All right, take care. Have an amazing rest of your day.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.